The Abandoned Wife, Lucien. Chapter 11. In the middle of the night, Lucien tiptoed into Estella's room in the Farwell residence and tucked her in. He watched the little girl sleeping soundly in bed for quite a while before he turned and stepped out of the room. The moment he came out of the room, Caden stepped forward to update him. "Mr. Farwell, I've dropped by the restaurant to investigate the matter. However, I didn't discover anything as the surveillance cameras there were broken. So coincidentally." Hearing that, Lucien knitted his brows. "The moment my suspicion was piqued, the surveillance cameras were broken as well?" Looking troubled, Caden replied hesitantly, "It could be mere coincidence. After all, we haven't received any news about Mrs. Farwell, I mean, Ms. Jarvis, since she left years ago. I don't think she'd appear out of the blue in this city." Right after he said that, he noticed his boss's expression darkening. Caden's heart skipped a beat. He cast his head down and dared not utter anything more. "I got it," Lucien responded ambiguously before he turned and headed toward his room. The following morning, after breakfast, Roxanne took her two boys to the premium kindergarten, recommended by Madeline. As someone of high efficiency, Roxanne had stayed up late to sort things out after finalizing her option for the kindergarten the night before. She planned to enroll them in it right away. As notified by Madeline, the entry requirements for the particular kindergarten were relatively strict. All the students there were from wealthy and prominent families. On top of that, the kindergarten was stringent in screening their students' parents. Right after Roxanne reached the office of the head of the kindergarten, she was requested to provide the details of her occupation and net worth with related documentation. Fortunately, she had made the necessary preparation, as reminded by Madeline earlier. Even though Roxanne was neither a CEO nor a director, she had made a lot of money over the past few years with her expertise in the medical field. Thus, her net worth was a lot higher than the kindergarten's minimum requirement. After going through her documentation, the head of the kindergarten uttered courteously, "Ms. Jarvis, I'll proceed to enroll your kids now. Could you please sign here?" Roxanne placed her signature on the document as requested. Shortly after, the head of the kindergarten summoned a teacher with a pleasant look. She instructed the latter to lead the two boys to their classroom so they could familiarize themselves with the environment and their classmates. The two boys waved at Roxanne nonchalantly and walked away with the teacher. Roxanne retracted her gaze after their figures were out of sight. Then, she nodded at the head of the kindergarten and left. Unlike the other parents, she had nothing to worry about when it came to her two boys. She had started bringing them along to the research institute years ago. In other words, they were not easily shy as they had gotten used to mingling with others and could adapt to the environment well. Apart from that, the syllabus in the kindergarten was a piece of cake for the two little geniuses. Instead of being bullied by the other kids in the kindergarten, Roxanne was even more worried that her two boys would pick on the others. After all, almost all the talented members of the research institute had fallen victim to their tricks before. On the other hand, the two boys looked around curiously along the way as their teacher led them to their classroom. The moment they stepped into it, their teacher introduced them gently to the other kids. "Everyone, there are newly joined classmates. Put your hands together to welcome them, okay?" All the other kids stared at the two boys with intrigue. Meanwhile, the duo also introduced themselves graciously. Their adorable looks and cheerfulness were indeed irresistible to the other kids. After their introduction, everyone applauded excitedly. Benny scanned one round before someone among the kids caught his eye. Pulling the hem of Archie's shirt, he whispered to the latter, "Archie, look. Isn't that our paternal sister?" She's in the same class as us. Chapter 12. When Archie looked in the direction where Benny was staring, the little girl they met the day before came into sight. Subsequently, he furrowed his brows. In the meantime, Estella was staring at them as she clapped her hands with the other kids. When she realized Archie and Benny were fastening their gazes on her, a hint of an explicit excitement flickered in her crystal clear eyes. Never had she expected that she would meet them here. Even though she had only met them once, she could not fathom why she tended to take a fancy to them. Even so, Archie and Benny had retracted their gazes as she kept her eyes glued to them. Okay. You may take your seats now. Oh, there are two empty seats over there. I'll arrange for you two to sit together, okay? Their teacher pointed at the two empty seats next to Estella. Archie and Benny were momentarily stunned. Nevertheless, they nodded obediently and walked over to sit down without uttering any words. Estella's eyes lit up at the two boys walking toward the empty seats next to her. She gazed at them in anticipation but was soon overcome by a wave of disappointment. They're seated right next to me, but why don't they greet me? It's as though they didn't recognize me. Down in the dumps, Estella cast her eyes down, toying with her fingers. In actuality, the two boys were observing her reaction discreetly. Sensing the latter's sheer disappointment, they could not help feeling guilty. Clenching his fists, Archie reminded himself and his brother at the same time, "Daddy abandoned us and had another child with another woman. He even bullied Mommy. We mustn't talk to her because she's his kid with another woman. Otherwise, we'll surely hurt Mommy's feelings." Benny nodded solemnly at the former's words. "Yeah. We should ignore her." Hence, the two boys sat upright throughout the class and did not even glance obliquely at Estella. Sensing the duo's aloofness, Estella dared not steal any glance at them again. After class, quite a few girls huddled over to play with the two boys. They not only gasped admiringly at the two brothers' good looks but also shared their toys willingly with them. The outgoing Benny got along well with the others, laughing cheerfully. On the contrary, Archie was polite, mature for his age, and friendly. Catching sight of the two boys' bright smiles, Estella suddenly had the courage to go over and greet them again. However, all the other kids surrounded the two boys and squeezed her out of her seat. One of the girls even grimaced as she pushed her aside and scoffed, "Little mute, get lost. You can't even talk, so what's the point of you squeezing with us here? Don't rain on our parade, okay?" Caught off guard, Estella lost her balance and fell backward. All the others behind her dodged immediately. None of them stretched out their hands to help her. Startled, Estella thought of balancing herself by grabbing the side of the desk next to her. Even so, she missed it and fell. The next second, she knocked her hand on the side of the desk. "Ouch. It hurts." Estella ended up slumping on the floor. She knitted her brows in pain. At the same time, tears started to well up in her eyes. Meanwhile, the other kids around her only watched without taking any action. A few girls cupped their mouths to stifle their giggles. Estella had been unsociable in the class all the while. Since she was mute, she hardly had any friends. Nevertheless, she was as sweet as a doll. Even though girls disliked her, she was well liked by most of the boys. They even treated and served her well like a princess. In fact, the boys, who were usually as agile as monkeys, tended to practice self-discipline in front of her. Needless to say, the girls were green with envy because of that. Tammy, who shoved her away moments ago, never failed to grab the chance to bully her. Chapter 13. No words could describe the pain on Estella's hand and the grievance surging from within her after the fall. She massaged her little hand instinctively, almost breaking into tears. After a while, she sniffled and got up to her feet. Then, she took out a notebook from the desk and started writing something in it. All the other kids were not surprised by that. Since Estella was mute, she usually communicated with them by writing in her notebook. However, it seldom appeared as there was scarcely anyone to play with her. A while later, she flipped her notebook toward Tammy after she finished writing. Placing her hands on her hips, the latter snorted at the word "apologize" in it and questioned sardonically, "How could you have the cheek to request me to apologize to you? Estella, you're asking for it?" With that, she advanced toward Estella with her nose in the air and stretched out her hand, thinking of giving the poor girl another shove. It never occurred to Estella that Tammy would strike at her again. Standing rooted on the spot, she was unable to react. In the meantime, Archie and Benny had been keeping their eyes on them. Nobody was aware when Tammy suddenly gave Estella a hefty shove a while ago. The realization only dawned on Archie and Benny when Estella fell to the floor. Now that Tammy was going to shove Estella again, they could not hold back any longer. "Enough of that. How could you bully her?" Archie stood in her way swiftly, glowering at her with a look of sheer grimness. Tammy was stunned at his sudden emergence in front of Estella. Archie stated sternly, "Didn't your mother teach you to apologize after making a mistake? Since you'd shoved her just now, you must apologize to her." Irked by Tammy's domineeringness, the young boy exuded an imposing aura surprisingly. An intimidated Tammy looked around apprehensively, hoping the other kids would back her up. Moments later, when nobody stepped forward to do so, she could only retort guiltily, "I." Nevertheless, she was at a loss for words to speak up for herself. At the sight of Tammy blushing crimson, Benny advanced toward her resignedly. "You shouldn't hurt anyone as you like. It's bad behavior. We're not supposed to fight among ourselves. Apologize to her. Okay." Benny's voice was not as authoritative as Archie's, but there was still an unmissable hint of sternness in his tone. On the verge of tears, Tammy flashed him a glance timidly. Seeing that, Benny blinked a few times and relented. "Don't cry. You'll look ugly if you cry. Bad kids tend to look ugly, too. Not to mention, only bad kids hurt others. If you don't wish to be one of them, apologize to her sincerely. You'll automatically be a good kid again after she forgives you." Tammy sniffled hard, restraining herself from bursting into tears. "No way. I don't want to be an ugly girl. But bad kids tend to look ugly." After much hesitation, she snuffled and apologized to Estella, "I'm sorry. I shouldn't have pushed you just now. Could you please forgive me?" Estella looked at Tammy for quite a while before nodding. Benny grinned blissfully. "That's right. We're all classmates and should get along well with each other." Tammy nodded awkwardly at Estella's willingness to forgive her. The other kids shared the same sentiments as Benny and echoed his words. Meanwhile, Archie turned to look at Estella. "Are you all right? Did you get hurt just now?" Hiding her injured hand behind her back, Estella put up a front and shook her head. The next moment, Benny leaned closer and stared at her suspiciously. "I saw you knock onto the desk just now. How's it possible that you're not hurt at all? Let me have a look." Without any waste of time, he grabbed hold of Estella's injured hand. The latter shrunk away, trying to pull her hand out. Nevertheless, the tiny red patch on the back of her hand was utterly visible against her fair skin. When the unsightly redness came into view, Archie questioned her again, "Do you really not feel any pain?" Wearing a look of earnestness, Estella shook her head. Even so, her eyes were red-rimmed. Archie and Benny furrowed their brows in unison. The part of her skin has turned relatively red.
How's it?
Possible that it's not painful? It has even started to swell. There might be a bruise later. We'll bring you to see our teacher now and let the school nurse attend to it.
Archie sounded determined.
Estella wanted to withdraw her hand, but Benny gripped it. He dragged her and went after Archie, heading straight for the staff room. At the sight of the wound on Estella's hand, their teacher asked about the event that had transpired earlier before leading them to the school nurse's room in a hurry. Estella's injury was not severe, but the school nurse did not dare to dawdle. After spraying some medicine onto her wound, she massaged it for a while gently. When it was done, she looked at the two boys waiting aside. Impressed by their good looks, she asked their teacher, "Are these two boys your new students? I've never seen them before. Look at how adorable they are. I bet girls will fall head over heels for them when they grow up. Look, this little girl resembles them too. Could they be siblings?" Hearing that, Archie and Benny exchanged gazes intuitively and turned to look at Estella alongside them simultaneously. The duo was not surprised. After all, Estella was their paternal sister. It was nothing unusual for paternal siblings to look alike. Furthermore, people tended to comment that their eyes did not resemble their mothers. Estella also gazed at the two boys and could not help wondering, "Do we look alike?" After the school nurse attended to Estella's injury, their teacher left together with them. Back in the classroom, Estella followed behind Archie and Benny closely like a small tail attached to their backs. Soon, they walked back to their seats and sat down. Initially, Archie and Benny thought that their mission was accomplished. It never came to them that Estella would tag along with them wherever they went during class activities.
"My goodness. We can't
seem to shrug her off. She even keeps stealing glances at us during class." After a few times, Archie could not take it any longer. Furrowing his brows, he looked intently into Estella's eyes. "Why are you following us so closely?" His tone was not harsh, but he sounded emotionless and aloof. Intimidated by his abrupt query, Estella looked away hastily. Even so, she cast a look in his direction. Again seconds later, Archie's forehead creased into a frown. Undeniably, he had a soft spot for the adorable Estella. How nice would it be if she's not related to Daddy? If so, Benny and I would treat her like a little princess and protect her well. However, this little mute is Daddy's daughter with another woman. If we treat her well, we'll be betraying Mommy. He wanted to get a grip of himself to pay no heed to the girl, but he was speechless when he saw the latter staring at them pitifully. Just when he was about to ask Estella to stay away from them, he noticed that the latter started writing something in her notebook again. This round, she wrote, "I want to be friends with both of you." Shortly after, she lifted her notebook, covering the lower half of her face and only revealing her bright eyes. Chapter 14. Roxanne was clueless about the incident at the kindergarten. After leaving the kindergarten, she headed straight to the research institute set up in the country by her professor. The moment she stepped into the building, she saw a charming man dressed in a suit approaching her.
"Welcome back, Roxanne. I'm excited to be your colleague again." Colby Galloway stood before her and extended his hand. Roxanne nodded and shook his hand, quickly retracting it. Previously, Colby was abroad. He was also in Harvey's team and was involved in many types of research and development. During that time, Colby had been her assistant. After all, he was a graduate of a famous school, and his capabilities were acknowledged by Roxanne and Harvey. Though Roxanne's attitude was impassive, Colby did not mind it. He smiled and offered, "Come on. I'll
bring you to the office.
With that, he turned around and led the way, introducing the structure of the research institute and the key personnel along the way. Upon reaching the office, Colby grinned at Roxanne, saying, "I've specially instructed someone to decorate this place. It's based on your preferences in the past. Linda's workplace is right outside." Roxanne studied the area and responded with a satisfied nod.
"That's really thoughtful of you.
Thank you so much." Colby was momentarily stunned. He then put on a gentle smile. Even his voice sounded warm.
"It's nothing much. You don't have to be so polite with me."
As he was saying that, he could not conceal his liking for her that poured out from his gaze. Despite knowing she was a mother of two, it did not decrease his adoration for her. After all, Roxanne was an excellent woman in every aspect. In fact, she was so excellent that her qualities could cover up her shortcomings. However, Roxanne did not notice the gaze he was giving her. After briefly scanning the office, she said to Colby, "My purpose for coming here today is to understand the operations of the research institute. Could you bring me around the facility?" Colby was still smiling brightly.
"Okay."
Roxanne nodded slightly and gestured for him to lead the way. When Colby returned to his position in front of her, his smile turned bitter. It was true that he liked Roxanne. Sadly, she only viewed him as an ordinary subordinate. This is so frustrating. Soon, both of them left the office area and went straight to the main region of the research institute. They arrived at the testing area. Several researchers wearing laboratory coats and masks could be seen busy working at their respective workbenches. Roxanne did not want to disturb them. Hence, she asked Colby to briefly introduce all the projects and their progress. By the afternoon, Roxanne already had a clear idea of the research institute's situation. At the same time, she discovered an important problem. When they were visiting the testing area earlier, there was a foundation work area where no work was being carried out. Roxanne asked the researchers about it, only to find that the drugs they needed were finished, and they were still waiting for the research institute to distribute them. Many other areas were facing the same situation. Due to the delay in the distribution of drugs, the research of several projects had no choice but to be put on hold temporarily, leading to an increase in cost and time needed for the projects. Gradually, it led to a major loss to the research institute. After stepping out of the testing area, Roxanne frowned and gave Colby a stern look. "The delay of drug distribution has caused many types of research to be put on hold. What's going on here? Didn't you find a way to solve this?" Chapter 15. Hearing her words, Colby stopped smiling and answered seriously, "I'm already looking for a solution for this problem." Roxanne frowned as she looked at him, waiting for his next sentence. "Recently, I've met with a medicinal ingredients supplier and have talked to them about a long-term collaboration. All that's left is to sign the contract. The agreed time to sign the contract would be tomorrow afternoon. The reason things did not go smoothly previously is that the research institute was still in the construction phase. Many complicated and miscellaneous affairs had to be dealt with, and the employees were still getting used to the system. It was only recently that they had begun to adjust themselves. Moreover, Horrington's medicinal ingredients are mostly monopolized by a few major suppliers, and the supply was not enough to cover their demand. On top of that, our research institute is fairly new to the industry, causing many suppliers to intentionally increase their prices. It cost us a lot of time to negotiate for a lower price. That was why things were delayed until now." Colby gave her a brief summary of what had happened. Though it sounded simple, he was just a researcher. Hence, he suffered a lot when he negotiated with The cunning suppliers. Even if he did not reveal much detail, Roxanne could imagine how difficult things were. As the person in charge of the research institute, he naturally had to manage everything. It was normal to face challenges everywhere. In fact, she encountered some herself when she was abroad. After she listened to Colby's explanation, Roxanne's expression relaxed. Things must have been very difficult for you. The corners of Colby's lips lifted. Not really. It's my job, anyway. What's the name of this medicinal ingredients supplier? Roxanne brought the conversation back to the topic of business again. If it's possible, I'd like to go with you to the signing of the contract. Since I'm going to take over the future matters of the research institute, I think I should go over and have a few conversations with them. Colby simply responded, "Sure. You could come along tomorrow." Roxanne nodded. After that, both of them returned to Roxanne's office. When she saw the person behind her had no intentions of leaving, she was perplexed. "Is there anything else?" Colby smiled politely. "Actually, I have something to ask you. Are you free tonight? It's your first day at work, and I've arranged a dinner to welcome you. At the same time, you can get to know the people in the institute." Hearing that, Roxanne relaxed her brows. "Thank you. Tonight's dinner is on me, then. We're going to be working closely together in the future. I should show my sincerity as the person in charge." Seeing that she had agreed to come, Colby did not haggle over such details. He nodded with a smile. "Okay. See you after work, then." With that, he turned around, intending to leave. Right then, Roxanne called out, "Could you please bring over all the documents I need to deal with later? I've got no urgent matters, anyway. I can use the time to take a look at them." "Sure. I'll get them now," he answered. Soon, Colby brought all the documents to her office. After placing them down, he excused himself politely and helped her to shut the door. At last, Roxanne was the only person left in the office. She pulled out her phone and dialed Madeline's number. "Maddie, are you free tonight? Could you help me pick Archie and Benny up? I've got something to attend to tonight, and I might be home late." Madeline did not question further and gave her a brief reply. "Okay." After making the arrangements for the children, Roxanne started looking through the documents. It was not until Colby knocked on her door that she stopped working. It was time to get off work. "Time goes by really fast," Roxanne muttered, picking up her coat and walking out of the door. Colby grinned. "You're very focused when you work. It's normal to not notice time passing by." Both of them continued chatting along the way. After exiting the research institute, they got into Colby's car and went straight to the restaurant. After around 10 minutes, Colby gestured for her to look ahead. "That's the one." Roxanne lifted her gaze and spotted a vintage-looking building with exquisite carvings on the exterior. Moreover, it was located in front of a river. Hence, it looked really charming. The restaurant was named the Waterfront. Colby parked the car, and they walked toward the entrance of the waterfront. Just as they were about to enter, a Rolls-Royce stopped slowly by the roadside in the dark. Caden got off the car and went to open the door to the passenger seat. Lucian's slender figure appeared in the dark, and his dark, narrowed eyes were fixed on the entrance of the waterfront. When he was in the car earlier, he had distinctly seen a figure that resembled Roxanne's. Chapter 16. Lucian furrowed his brows, and a look of annoyance flashed through his eyes. "Am I seeing things again? I wouldn't bother about it if it's just once or twice, but this has been going on for 2 days straight. I've been seeing her figure in different places, but the silhouette only flashes past my eyes without leaving any traces behind. He could not help but snort coldly before retracting his gaze. I must be going mad. That's why I'm thinking of her again. Meanwhile, Caden had been waiting by the side for some time. Seeing Lucian not moving his feet, he asked carefully, Mr. Farwell, our client has been waiting for a long time. Aren't we going in? Lucian shut his eyes for a while and recollected himself before replying calmly, let's go. With that, he strode into the building with his long legs. Caden followed closely behind him. When Roxanne and Colby arrived in the private room, all the employees of the research institute were already there. Colby let her sit in the main seat, while he took the one beside her. After getting themselves settled, he introduced her to the crowd. I'm sure many of you have met Dr. Jarvis today, but I'd still like to introduce her to all of you. Everyone turned to look at Roxanne, who nodded as a form of greeting. This is Roxanne Jarvis. You may address her as Dr. Jarvis. Perhaps you might not be familiar with this name, but I'm sure everyone is familiar with the name she used abroad. She's Professor Lambert's greatest student, Janet. Everyone in the room was stunned to hear the name. It took them a while to come back to their senses. And their eyes were instantly filled with respect. Janet was a name everyone in the medical industry was aware of. In fact, it would be safe to say that her name was well known abroad. After all, she possessed great medical skills from a young age. Rumor had it that she inherited 80% of Harvey's skills. She was basically a role model for the younger generation. All that while, the employees thought Janet was a serious-looking, bespectacled academician with short hair. To their surprise, she was a beautiful woman. After returning to their senses, some of her admirers quickly stood up. Are you really Janet? I really admire you. I've read every thesis you wrote when you were abroad. You're really my idol. It's our honor to be colleagues with you, Janet. The crowd started giving compliments, all of them looking extremely sincere. After exchanging glances with everyone, Roxanne smiled. Thank you for the compliments, everyone. Here's to a fruitful collaboration. With that, she raised her glass. The others, too, raised theirs and downed their drinks in one go. Roxanne acted extremely friendly without any arrogance, causing all the employees to admire her even more. It was a pleasant and cheerful meal. Many of them toasted Roxanne, and she accepted them all. She had a high alcohol tolerance, but there were too many people who approached her for a toast. Before she knew it, she was already feeling tipsy. Seeing the dinner was about to end, Roxanne excused herself to the toilet to wash her face and freshen up. As she walked out of the restroom and was on the way back to the private room, her phone vibrated. Roxanne glanced at her phone to find a message from her children, asking her when was she going home. Seeing the text put a heartwarming smile on her face. When she was about to stop in her tracks to reply to their text, someone bumped into her shoulder harshly, and her phone almost flew out of her hands. Roxanne gripped her phone tightly and apologized to the other person. I'm sorry. Before she could even finish, the man questioned angrily, are you blind? D**MNIP. What a mood killer. For such a night. As he spoke, a stench of alcohol entered her nostrils. Roxanne knitted her brows and backed away discreetly, putting some distance between them. When the drunkard saw her face clearly, he stopped scolding her and gaped at her beautiful face. Chapter 17. Roxanne put up her guard when she realized the man was a drunkard. Hoping to avoid unnecessary trouble, she apologized again, I'm really sorry. Are you okay? When she finished speaking, the man in front of her suddenly smiled maliciously. Even his voice sounded excited. Hello, pretty babe.
I'm fine. You'll find out after having a few drinks with me.
I'll forgive you for today's matters once you make me happy.
Roxanne frowned. She knew the person in front of her had lost all sense of rationality due to his drunkenness. Hence, she ignored him and lowered her head, wanting to walk past him. Just as she arrived beside the drunkard, his voice rang out again.
Don't leave, pretty babe.
I'm really rich. If you agree to be with me, I promise you'll live comfortably for the rest of your life. He then let out a perverted laugh, scanning Roxanne from head to toe. This beauty has such a pretty and delicate face. And her body has all the right curves. She's so fair that even her skin glows under the light. I bet she must be satisfying to touch. The more he looked at her, the more excited he got. He reached out, wanting to touch her face. Seeing his hand nearing her, Roxanne put on a cold expression, took one step backward, and kicked him in the stomach. Since it was her first day at the research institute, she was dressed formally. Thanks to her heels, the kick was even more powerful. The person was so drunk that he was already swaying on his feet and was rather woozy. Before he could even react, he had already been given a hard kick in his stomach. His face paled, and he clutched his stomach, staggering backward and landing heavily on the ground.
You little B**TCH. How dare you disrespect me?
You should be feeling honored that I'm attracted to you.
How dare you kick me, he yelled.
After squirming on the ground for a long time, he gritted his teeth and lifted his head. His eyes were bloodshot. Roxanne cast him a disgusted glance before making her way past him. Suddenly, he roared into a corner, "Someone, get here. That woman attacked me. Get her into the private room now. I'd like to see how she can continue putting up that attitude with me tonight." Right after he finished speaking, two burly bodyguards dashed out from the corner. When they saw the drunkard in such a pathetic state, they hesitated for a moment.
"Boss, don't bother about me. Just get her," the drunkard roared.
The bodyguards immediately walked toward Roxanne. When she heard the sound of footsteps approaching her from behind, her heart skipped a beat, and she reached into her bag to grab a bag of powder. "If they get near me, I'll let them have a taste of this medicine." As she turned around with the bag in her hand, the bodyguard that was about to touch her suddenly screamed and flew past her. In the next second, the other bodyguard disappeared from her sight in the same manner. Roxanne was dumbfounded. It was only then that she realized there was another silhouette behind her. She turned around and spotted a slender figure standing a few steps away from her. Her heart sank, and she felt as if her mind was about to explode. She spun around instantly, wanting to flee from the scene. Lucian, who wore a grim expression, was dressed in a tailored suit. His sleeves were rolled up to his forearms, and a few buttons around his collar were unbuttoned. He stood in the corridor while looking at the woman in front of him with a burning gaze. In fact, he was in the middle of a social event. He found the air rather stuffy and decided to come out to get some fresh air. Never did he expect to meet Roxanne out there. It's really her. The longer he stared at her, the darker his gaze became. He wanted to say something before seeing the woman attempting to flee. Frowning, he dashed forward and grabbed her wrist. Meanwhile, Roxanne was so nervous that she could hear her heart pounding. She had no idea when he managed to catch up to her, and his grip caught her off guard. She froze on the spot, and all kinds of thoughts raced through her mind. "Roxanne." The man's furious voice rang out beside her ears. "Stop hiding from me." Roxanne finally came to her senses and struggled subconsciously. Sensing her movements, Lucian exerted more force into his grip. "Let me go.
Roxanne gave up struggling and turned around stubbornly, meeting his gaze.
Let go. Lucian's words sounded as if they were forced out of his gritted teeth. He stared at her intently with his dark eyes. It had been 6 years since they last met. Roxanne's face had traces of maturity, yet she looked as beautiful as ever. However, she was no longer the obedient and gentle person he remembered. Unlike in the past, when she was submissive to him, she was currently more imposing and fiercer. There was even a distant look in her eyes. Anger brewed in Lucian's heart when he realized all that. He stared coldly into Roxanne's eyes and enunciated each syllable clearly as he spoke. Do you think I'll let you escape again? Roxanne's heart trembled. She wanted to say something, but Lucian would not give her the chance to do so. His voice had a dangerous tone when he instructed Caden, who stood behind him, get rid of all these scums. Without giving Roxanne time to react, he grabbed her by the arm and marched into the private room. Beside them, Roxanne had a sense of uneasiness, but she could not break free, no matter what she did. Just like that, she was dragged into the room, stumbling along the way. Chapter 18. The private room was empty. Once Lucian entered the room, he shut the door right away. At that moment, the room fell into pin-drop silence. Only the sound of their breathing could be heard. Roxanne scanned the area. For some reason, she felt a sense of danger, and she started struggling. Fiercely. What are you trying to do? Let me go. In the next second, Lucian pinned her against the wall effortlessly. Both their bodies were pressed so tightly together that Lucian's warm breath landed on her ears. Roxanne suddenly stopped struggling and leaned against the wall, straightening her body stiffly. Without realizing it, she even slowed down her breathing. They were so close that her chest would touch the person before her if she breathed slightly harder. The room fell into dead silence. Roxanne gritted her teeth as her mind raced. No matter how much time had passed, the oppressive feeling he gave her was still as strong as before. However, their relationship had changed long ago. Roxanne clenched her fists and forced herself to calm down. We're already divorced. Lucian and I have absolutely nothing to do with each other now. We're people of different worlds. At that thought, Roxanne took a deep breath and said calmly, Lucian, let me go. We can talk this out if you've got something to say. Lucian was slightly stunned to hear her calm tone. After some time, he took a step back, but he did not release her. Roxanne secretly sighed with relief, and her expression became calmer. Do you have nothing to say to me? Lucian narrowed his eyes upon seeing the change in her expression. Perhaps it was because Roxanne had thought things through that her heart did not tremble at his words. With a distant tone, she said, Mr. Farwell, we've been divorced for 6 years already. I think there's nothing I have to say to you. When she ended her sentence, Lucian pinched her chin hard. She was forced to meet his gaze. What did you just call me? Lucian's eyes burned with rage as if they could shoot fire at any time. Roxanne endured the pain and avoided his gaze, not uttering a single word. Lucian was even more infuriated at her act of silence. Mr. Farwell? That form of address sounds really distant. Well, it makes sense though. It's been 6 years, after all. Hasn't this woman always been heartless? She's so heartless that she could even leave her daughter behind and act like a stranger. I bet no one's more heartless than her. Roxanne, why are you acting like a stranger in front of me? Lucian gripped her chin harder. Roxanne winced, frowning as she met his eyes with a look of resistance. Lucian smirked. Weren't you the one who shouted how much you liked and loved me back then? And now, you're acting like we're strangers. Have you forgotten what you did to me in the past? You might have forgotten, but I haven't.
Roxanne froze for a few seconds. She never expected him to bring up the matter of 6 years ago. It was impossible for her to forget what happened that night. That night, she had approached him like a sacrificial animal, all for a tiny moment of intimacy with him. As she thought of her emotions from that night, Roxanne's heart turned cold, and she balled her fists that were hanging by her side. Unwilling to back down, she responded, "I remember it. What's wrong? Do you feel like you'd been taken advantage of? Do you want to get back your dignity? Tell me. How? Should I compensate you, Mr. Farwell?"
Lucian trembled with rage, causing the atmosphere in the private room to be filled with terrifying tension. The pain in her chin was getting more intense. Still, Roxanne endured it and continued calmly, "To be honest, you weren't conscious that night, and I didn't feel anything. Now that I think about it, it was just so-so. But it's true that I drugged you. So, I won't object if you want to be compensated."
"Very well. Now that so many years have passed, this woman knows how to use her words to anger me."
Lucian's eyes narrowed dangerously. Indeed, he was unconscious that night, and he barely remembered any details. However, any man would be angered when they heard Roxanne's words. After several seconds of silence, Lucian lifted her chin slightly and said coldly, "So-so? Since I've caused such a misunderstanding, I don't mind being at your service again." Panic flashed through Roxanne's eyes as she watched the man lean toward her. She wanted to escape, but she had nowhere to run.
Chapter 19. Passionate kiss. The man's hot lips pressed against hers, and the two breathed on each other's skin. At that very second, Roxanne's mind went blank. She never thought that Lucian would take it all the way there. The man was even tightening his grip on her chin, seemingly trying to force her to open her mouth. Right then, Roxanne came back to her senses and began thrashing.
"Let go of me, Lucian Farwell. Have you lost your mind? We're in a restaurant. Anyone might come in anytime."
Lucian moved a little further from her because of her struggles. When his mind registered her words, he frowned.
"So what? Weren't you the one who said you were going to compensate me? I'm just taking what you owe me once, but you're already afraid."
Roxanne's eyes twitched. A wave of disgust washed over her when she thought about what she went through the other night. Perhaps it was because he had been drugged that night, Lucian was barely aware of what he was doing. Still, he had been taking action instinctively, and he had been rough. Hence, she remembered nothing but the pain from that incident. Now that the man's scent and the faint smell of alcohol were wafting across her nose again, and after hearing what he said, Roxanne began shaking. When Lucian saw no response from her, his eyes darkened, and he leaned over to kiss her again. It was a kiss rougher than the previous. Roxanne could not move at all under his grasp, and the panic in her heart was growing more and more intense. It had been 6 years, but her body still could not resist that man. "If he notices my reaction to him, I would still be the same person I was 6 years ago." With that thought in mind, Roxanne sobered up instantly. When she sensed the man trying to enter her, she quickly bit down hard on his lip. The metallic tang of blood soon flooded their mouth. The man froze. In the next second, he moved with even more vigor. Roxanne could barely take in any breaths from his continuous kisses, and she was slowly losing strength in her body. The only reason she didn't slump down was that the man was still pressing down on her hand. A beat later, Lucian stopped and, with his lips still on hers, asked, "I thought you said you feel nothing toward me. Why have you gone so weak?"
"Roxanne, your body is far more honest than your mouth is."
The man's voice was hoarse.
Roxanne panted.
Just as she was about to refute him, she suddenly felt a large hand wandering toward her chest. Once she sensed his action, Roxanne somehow mustered up the force to shove him away and slap him.
"Lucian, weren't you the one who said you were going to marry Aubrey? I've let you go, so what are you doing now? Are you taking revenge on me? If you are, then you've done it. I was foolish to have targeted you with such an extreme trick, but just as you wanted, I stopped clinging to you. I won't appear in your life anymore. So, this is the end of us." With that said, Roxanne shot him a glare and rushed out of the room, never once looking back. Meanwhile, after Caden cleaned up the mess, he went to the private room they were at to guard the door for Lucian. All of a sudden, he saw Lucian's ex-wife rushing out of the room. He froze for a few seconds before coming back to his senses and running into the room to check on Lucian. Right as he entered the room, he was greeted by a dim scene. His employer was standing in a nearby corner with his head tilted to the side. His cheek was a little red, and there was blood on his lips. At the same time, it seemed like he was fuming. "Mr. Farwell, are you okay?" Caden's heart skipped a beat as he tentatively walked over to ask a word of concern. Lucian's expression was dark. He reached up to touch his cheek before brushing his thumb across the corner of his lip. It came back wet. "That woman bit down rather hard. She's as ruthless as usual." As he looked at the blood on the tip of his thumb, Lucian gritted out, "I'm fine." At that, he turned to leave the room. "Go on. Keep running, Roxanne. You're already back at Horrington. I'd like to see where else you can run to." When he stepped out of the private room, he spotted the drunkard and his subordinate still crying out in misery on the ground. After a cold glance at the people on the floor, Lucian turned around to order Caden, "Break whichever hands they used to touch her." Sensing the tense atmosphere, Caden hung his head and replied without hesitation, "Yes, sir." Lucian said nothing else before he left. Chapter 20. Her relationship with that man. Roxanne had nowhere to go after fleeing the room, so she hid in the stairwell. As she leaned against the wall and panted, she reached up to touch her aching lips. It felt as if the man's warmth was still lingering on them. A moment later, Roxanne lowered her eyes self-deprecatingly. It had been many years, and she thought she had no feelings for Lucian anymore. Yet, after just one meeting with him, the man was wreaking havoc in her mind again. After a while of recomposing herself later, Roxanne returned to the room. The workers inside were still partying away, and they only became a little quieter when she entered. Noticing that her mood seemed to have changed since she left the room, Colby furrowed his brows. "Why did you leave for so long? Did something happen? It's like something's off with you." Roxanne gave him a nonchalant smile and shook her head. "It's nothing. I gave my son a call." With that, she took a seat, not letting Colby ask her anything else. Roxanne had left for quite a while. Not long after she returned, most were almost done with their partying. Roxanne was not in the right mood, so she decided to end the party. They all went downstairs together, and everyone bid goodbye to Roxanne and Colby. Soon, only the two of them were left. Colby softly suggested, "I'll send you back if you don't mind. You've drunk quite a lot tonight, and I'm worried about you." Roxanne inclined her head, not disagreeing with his offer. "Thank you." She had yet to buy a car after returning to the country. "It seems like I have to hurry up and get a car soon." "It's my pleasure." Colby opened the car door for her. After thanking him again, Roxanne went into the car. In the meantime, by the entrance of the restaurant, Caden was fearfully looking at his employer's back. "How can things be so coincidental? I can't believe we're watching Roxanne entering another man's car. As Caden watched the car slowly drive off, he cautiously raised his head to observe his employer's expression. Lucian had a grimace on his face as he fixed his gaze on that car. A beat later, he looked away and gritted out, "Check who that man is and what kind of relationship he has with her." Caden hastily said yes to him. By the time Lucian returned to the Farwell residence, it was already 9. After sweeping his gaze across the living room, he realized Estella was nowhere to be found. A slight frown crept onto his face. At that, "Where's Essie?" Catalina, who took care of Estella, was on her way down the stairs. "Mr. Farwell, Ms. Estella is done with her shower and is now in her room. Would you like to go upstairs to see her?" Lucian gave her a slight nod and began walking toward the stairs. "Mr. Farwell, there's something else I'd like to tell you about," Catalina hesitantly continued. "When Ms. Estella came home tonight, she had a bruise on her wrist. I asked her about it, but she refused to tell me anything. I'm not sure if she has been bullied at kindergarten. I think this is something important you should look into." Lucian narrowed his eyes. "I understand. I'll go upstairs and take a look at her." With that said, he quickened his footsteps to Estella's room before knocking on the door. Soon, Estella opened it for him. She did not have much reaction after realizing that Lucian had come home. After opening the door, she turned and walked back to where she came from. Lucian followed her. Then, he saw the girl going back to her table and returning to her drawing. He did not disturb her, for he noticed how focused she was. A while of waiting by the side later, when he saw her put down her pencil, he uttered, "Catalina said that you're hurt? Let me take a look at you."